is my Scott pick going to be this week?
Oh, yeah, you got to tell me that.
Let's look at this shelf full of Scott and see if anything I want to talk about.
See, folks, RJ doesn't tell me anything until moments before we go on the show. Actually, you know, that's not true. That's not true. You did tell me your ska news or your ska news thing super early. So that's great.
And I had already picked out like what I wanted to do for ska news in my head. And I used, you know what I used to do, Matt? I used to have a list of what my ska picks were going to be. And then so as soon as you'd ask, I'd have an answer. But today is not one of those days. I don't even listen to Scott anymore. What do I? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay, you know what? You just tell me later. We'll just get going. On the heartbeat, it's time to move your feet. On the heartbeat, so come on and dance with me. 'Cause life is bitter, life is sweet, and it's got you on the edge of your seat. But you know the life is better. It's always better on the upbeat. Welcome to On the Upbeat. I am your host, Matt Vest, and it is tricky to rock a rhyme right on time. And with me, as always, is RJ Phoenix.
Yeah, that's right. I'm RJ Phoenix, and everybody knows that I do two things. That's drink Mountain Dew and talk to ska bands. And today I had a watermelon-flavored Mountain Dew. I really liked it. It's called Major Melon. And in general, I don't know anything about Army rankings. But I do know that Sergeant Scagnetti is number one in my heart.
Woohoo!
And today we have Steve from Sergeant Scagnetti. What's going on today, Steve?
Hello, I'm the Upbeat friends. How are you?
Yeah!
Thanks for having me.
We are excited to chat, mostly because you probably just got back from Supernova Ska Fest. How was that?
I'm not a religious fella. But if you were, or you were looking for one, I think that might be a place to find it, man. What a beautiful, amazing couple days. You can't really overhype how cool and special and different it is than really any other festival that I'm aware of. I was sort of watching, you know, people were posting about us and our performance and stuff, but the internet was a little shaky. So the only thing I was seeing was Riot Fest updates from people,
right,
and Supernova updates from people. And no offense to Riot Fest, I'm sure it's a lovely thing, but just to see just the Riot Fest was giving me stress, like just looking at it, looking at the people and the crowdedness, and then Supernova is like, you know, free water and Adirondack chairs for everyone to sit in. Like anytime you wanted an Adirondack chair, there seemed to be one available. Somehow Tim and April made Adirondack chairs readily available, even though there were thousands and thousands of people at this fest. I don't know how to explain how relaxing it was to be part of a music fest like that. It was gorgeous, beautiful, amazing.
Yeah, I was
the coolest thing we've ever done. How about that?
Awesome. I was seeing it a lot of it unfold online and stuff like that, and obviously it's not comparing. But I did see like the free water station, and like it looked so nice and clean and didn't look shitty.
Man, I had to take a poop, as one does.
Yeah.
And I took a poop in an air-conditioned trailer bathroom whilst listening to Holly Cook. And I took my time in there, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't say that about any other festival that would have provided me the opportunity to both do my civic duty and be cool in doing so, and listening to Holly Cook at the same time. What a delightful event.
Yeah. I heard stories of Sergeant Scagnetti doing sword fighting. How did that come together for a live show? Is that a normal thing? You throw swords out and let people go to town?
Yeah, we've done it before. You know, when the budget allows for a few hundred swords shipped over from China, we'll bust them out. We like to, you know, split the audience down the middle, create some sort of imaginary conflict, get everybody hyped up, play a really energetic song, and let them hit each other with foam swords.
What could possibly go wrong?
Very little, actually.
Yeah.
The first time we did it was our CD release party back in the 90s. And we went to the dollar store to try to find some gimmicks or I don't know. We didn't have a plan, but we were like, we got to do something dumb because it's our CD release party. And there was this giant sort of rack of plastic swords. And they were on clearance at the dollar store. And I think they were like $4 or $5 for a dollar. And so we asked the dollar store manager if we could have them all. And they were like, sure. And we just brought garbage bags and put them in garbage bags. And that was a really bad idea because plastic swords are sharp. And this was not a good idea. It looked very cool. And people had a lot of fun, but I'm sure that we shouldn't have done that. Now in modern times, you can get some nice safe foam swords.
Right.
The kids love them. And it's kind of cool to see, you know, people will kind of stick them in their backpack or on their, you know, on their holster and just sort of walk around the rest of the festival. some people will have assigned them if they had a particularly good time. So yeah, it's a gimmick, but what it does is, if nothing else, it wakes everyone up at noon on a Saturday when they were out very late the night before at the after party and things, and lets them know sort of who they're dealing with and gets them moving and excited. And so, yeah, it's a gimmick, but it works.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. RJ, did you do any foam sword fighting this weekend?
My LARP weekend is next weekend, so no foam swords this weekend. This weekend was, went to hang out with the in-laws. Had to work. My wife was looking for a very particular item that she wanted, and she thought she found it at a store about an hour and a half away from us, and called the store 3 times to make sure they had it. Went there, did not have it.
Wow.
So she was a little upset, but you know, that gave me time to like do my work that I had to do for my job. I planted a blueberry bush and a couple blackberry bushes in the backyard. I would have rather done these things. Well, not the day job, but the planting with my wife, but it just wasn't in the cards. But she spent some extra time with her parents cause they lived out the way of the store that she ended up going to for no good reason. She was safe and sound, you know, it was a good time. And, it was a pretty laid back weekend for me. What about you, Matt?
I had a pretty laid back weekend, mostly cause I was sick.
Well, that's no good, buddy.
Yeah, I had a cold, so I was just down in cold medicine every like 4 or 5 hours, and so I just sat around the house. I watched this wonderful show that I discovered. It's currently on its second season. It's on Apple TV. It is called Invasion, and obviously it's clearly about an alien invasion, but it's told it's one of those things where you don't really see the aliens all that much. And you don't see like this worldwide. It's very focused on a few individuals.
Oh.
And it's really good, really entertaining. So if you have Apple TV, check it out because it's fun. All right, let's get into some ska news. Here we go.
Woo.
Rude girls and rude boys too. Grab your friends and listen to what we're telling you. I'm sorry, you might have heard, but Gavin, you're about to miss me in ska news.
Yes, ska news, where we tell you about the latest releases and everything happening. You know what? RJ is going to start us off this week.
No! Hey, everybody. ska punk band Chilled Monkey Brands out of Florida are back. Been away for a while, but I'm so glad to see that they're putting out music again. In fact, they're putting out a new album called Back to the Mud in November. But right now, we have a brand new single for you, and it is called Suburban Home.
I want to be stereotyped.
I want to be classified. I want to be sick. I wanna be cold.
very fun, fast song.
Oh, it is. They're good with the fast songs. I just, when that came up that they were putting out new music again, I got pretty excited because it's been quite some time, and they were always a solid act.
All right, for my ska news this week, we have a new song, which I think it's their first song being out, song from a band called The Write-Ups. They're from Michigan, and they just released a new song called Going Back Home. So this danceable ska track is streaming everywhere now, and we're going to listen to a clip right now. So this is The Write-Ups with Going Back Home. Looking forward to hearing more from them. I do believe I saw a post saying that they do have a full album ready to go. So I think we'll be hearing more from them before the end of the year. So, yeah.
All right. Good. Yeah. You know me. I love that Midwest ska. We got to get more of that. So for our final bit of ska news, the ska band Show Ska out of Japan has a brand new album out. It's called Everything Go. It's a little bit of a less boisterous affair than their last release. But here's a song I really enjoyed off of it. And the name of the song is Morning Star. And we're sharing it with you today.
That's a happy tune right there. Happy danceable song. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Last time they were kind of crazy. So they dialed it back. They showed us their chops on this new album. And I'm really impressed by Show Ska.
All right. That's awesome. So before we head out of Ska News, of course, we want to remind you that On the Upbeat has a Patreon. Yes, it's true. For $4 a month. Months? For $4 a month, you get at least 2 bonus episodes, access to a private Facebook page, and discount on merch. So every week most weeks we give you at least a bonus episode that's connected with our regular weekly episode, usually an extended chat with our guests. So we promise you, too, we usually deliver at least 3 or 4. So, you know, that's what we promise.
Those burning extra questions.
Yes. What is your favorite Taco Bell Dorito or burrito? That's Dorito. Well, I mean, they do have Taco Bell Doritos. So, I mean,
that's my favorite. The Taco Bell Dorito tacos. Those are the best with the Baja Blast, buddy.
And disagree. Disagree.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay, Steve, we're going to get into it on the after show then.
So if you want to see that head to head, you're going to have to subscribe to our Patreon, which you can do by going to patreon.com/ontheupbeatska. Also, I did mention you get a discount on merch, and yes, we do have merch. I'll put a link in the show notes.
I've never seen any of it.
In fact, let's see. I saw someone in person just last Saturday. just over a week ago wearing one of our On the Upbeat shirts. It was I never get over that fact. And then I saw someone online was wearing a shirt. I saw in a video someone was wearing an On the Upbeat shirt. So yeah, people do occasionally buy our stuff. And any way you can support us is greatly appreciated. So yes, check all that out. Steve, your band released a new album.
We did.
For the first time since the 90s.
That's correct. What are we doing?
How does it feel to have a new album out in over 20 years?
It feels like we're a real band. You know?
Yeah.
We came back in 2018 to play Supernova, and then we sort of never really discussed stopping because I think everybody was having fun. And so we just started playing some shows. And then we tried to write a couple songs, put out a few digital singles, put out a split 7-inch, and kept saying we were going to make a record and sort of just never.
I have the emails from you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure I told you like, oh, it's coming this year. It's coming this year. And I think we believed it. I don't think I was, purposefully lying to you. I think we really were like, no, it's going to happen.
I mean, you're soft selling it. Yeah, originally, you were just telling me it was going to be a new EP.
Yeah, well, I think we thought EP, and then we backed off. We're like, oh, we're just going to release a bunch of singles, and then once they're all released, we'll put them together and call it an EP. But yeah, I don't know. We went out to Texas to play Sky by Sky West. In what was that? Was that 2022? Yeah, spring of 2022, and talked with our buddy Cool Chris from Ska Punk International, who was at the show. And, said, hey man, we would like maybe to put something out. And he said, I'd like to put something out. And then that felt more real, I guess, or at least gave us, we owed something to someone conceptually. And we still did a really bad job then it took us a really long time to write those songs. Cause I think we said, yeah, we'll put out a record with you. And we had maybe three or four songs written and we were like, yeah, no big deal. We'll just go write four or five more songs and we'll get it to you, in a few months. And that really took more like a year to really get it done. It was a year. So it was March of 22 that we went out there and we actually recorded the rest of those songs in February and mixed them in March of 2023. We felt guilty because he put us on the schedule. And so then we had to deliver. It's hard to write songs. It's just like write song and finish them and then have everyone be content enough with them that we allow it to happen. We're, seven distinct voices and everybody gets a vote. I'm jealous of there's a lot of bands out there that are like, it's really one guy or one girl and they kind of run the show. And other people are either happy or unhappy to be there, but they don't seem to get involved in the band decision making as much. That is not how the Sergeant Skag crew operates. It is a disaster of opinions and everybody's vote counts equally. And it can get a little messy, but yeah, man, we put out a record, a real record, a full length album, 30 some odd minutes of music, 11 tracks.
Nah, I can't wait to get my vinyl in the mail, man. Cause you better believe that I ordered that thing.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Yeah. It just makes us feel like adults in a ska band, like we get it.
I never thought I'd see the day adults in a ska band.
We're sort of real. Like, we're here.
So, with the new album, At Least More Than Halfway Dead is the title.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
What can you kind of briefly spoke about sort of trying to put together songs, to sort of keep your promise to Cool Chris.
Can't disappoint Cool Chris.
Yeah. But he'd probably be cool with it. I mean, it's in his name. So
he would never let us know how disappointed he was in us. He would never tell us because he's too cool.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So he's what cool. What is the sort of, you kind of talked about a little bit of how writing goes in your band, but specifically, like, where does the writing start? Does it kind of, is it coming out of jam sessions? Is it, you know, different people bringing different songs to the table, sort of. So how did, yeah, what was the writing?
Yeah. Song? Yeah. Alex, our guitar player, joined the band a little bit before we started really sort of saying, all right, we are going to do a full length. And so Alex, thankfully, comes from a different world than we come from, one where you demo songs, where you think before you write, I guess, which is not something we ever did. So he, being the guitar player, we said, hey, man, bring some stuff. You know, just write some riffs, write some ideas, and bring it. And he started doing that. And we disliked, you know, most of what he brought, but occasionally there'd be something. And then we started to Frankenstein together the pieces a little bit. And then he would actually go and sort of, you know, demo those and give them to me. I would try to write some lyrics, at least a verse and some choruses or just the idea of something. And then we would sort of jam on that idea and record that. And then Alex would demo the jam, like sort of try to be, oh, we did that twice, or the chorus goes here. And he would like reconstruct the songs on his computer. Mm. Alex is a little younger than us, so he like knows how to do that stuff. We would just record things on our cell phone and then listen back and be like, this doesn't sound good. It's like, well, no, of course it doesn't, because you recorded it on your cell phone. So that helped us, I think, conceptualize the songs and sort of move along a little bit quicker once we really decided we were going to do it. Yeah, and then we just play it a whole bunch. Most of these tracks we were able to, you know, because we have been playing shows, which is part of the reason why we didn't make the record as quick, because we're not, you know, we're not a full-time professional touring band. Right. So when we have shows, that really is where our energy gets focused. And so if we have a bunch of shows coming up, we're not doing a lot of writing. We're doing a lot of, how does this song go? And we're trying to, you know, put together sets to go play live. Right. And then if we don't have shows for a little while, then we really hunker down into writing. But the transition between those two worlds isn't as like instantaneous as we would like it to be. So there's lots of like ramp up and slow down. So it took us some time to hunker down, but Alex writes the riffs. I write some lyrics. We structure it. And then the horn guys get together separately and try to write horn parts to it. And then we just yell at each other until it's done.
Until magically there's an album. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you record it. And then an hour later, you're like, oh, I should have done this instead. Oh,
well,
no.
That was not this time, RJ. Not this time. Because that is what happened with all of the digital singles that we did. And quite frankly, what happened with our, you know, even the stuff we put out in the 90s, where, you know, it goes to print and then someone says, I don't like that song. I wish it wasn't on the record. Or someone says, my tone or my is terrible. And so this time we said to everyone, you know, if you're not smiling when you leave the studio, we're going to kick you out of the band, or we're going to break up, or we're going to fight. Something's going to happen. You need to leave content, content.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not done. So go back and fix whatever it is you're mad about. So we basically lied to the band and said that where there was no budget. Of course there's a budget. But I think that made everybody loosen up and feel better about taking their time. Yeah. But the demo process was probably really the biggest thing. We had never done that before. So we worked through these songs and got them pretty shipshape before we hit the studio. Therefore, we actually did not use as much studio time as we even booked. We were able to sort of get through it and actually give some days back to the studio, which I don't know if any band has ever been able to do that, but we did it.
How conscientious and kind of you guys. Sergeant Scagnetti, the nicest band in the business.
That's true. Yeah, for sure. We're givers.
Put that on a t-shirt. I wanted to talk about the album artwork. First of all, what was the inspiration behind the artwork and who did it?
So Rich Zepko is our bass player and resident artiste. Rich also needs lots of time to think about the things he does. We try to convince him that, you know, his art is really just commerce for our band, but Rich's art is art.
Yeah.
And he stands by it. And so, yeah, the album cover is awesome. There's some references, you know, to some of the songs on the record in some bizarre way. I think Rich was channeling a lot of like 80s movies. There's some horror movie vibes to it. There's always a Goonie or Scooby-Doo type theme to what we're doing.
Does he know that the castle in the background is clearly the castle from He-Man?
He sure does.
Because that's the first thing I noticed. I'm like, I think...
Rich, so there is nothing that Rich is unaware of as it relates to the art. And there's more Easter eggs and references to things in there than he's even explained to us. I should probably get him to, you know, break it all down and do like a... you know, like a table of contents.
Yeah, it does come across very 80s. It very much does.
For sure, that's the vibe. So he would take that as a compliment.
Yeah, I love it. It's very distinct, stands out.
It doesn't really look like an album cover. I think he struggled with that a little bit. Like the angle at which like the picture is taken is a sort of strange angle, right? It's sort of behind the girl with the pizza girl with the axe. And
yeah.
But yeah, it was cool to see it on display. We actually had the records shipped to Supernova. I had never seen it or touched it before we got to the festival. Because the timeline was that close, and we had said that we would have it for the festival, and that was the whole goal, was to, you know, that was the release date, was built around us playing that show. But it looked cool, man. It looked cool up there on the, you know, on the display with the other records, and awesome. It was really cool. It's exciting to touch it.
So we're going to listen to a new song off the record. We're going to listen to 401 BK.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about this song, and why is it causing everyone to be mad at Burger King?
I think it's misplaced anger. And it is really causing a lot of anger towards the Burger King Corporation, which was not really my intent. And I think I've seen a lot of people online interpret it as a very anti-corporate song. My trombone player has told me to go back and read the lyrics, and that it is absolutely an anti-corporate song. To me, the person who wrote it, I will tell you that it really comes from a place more so of anger towards an older generation, many of whom had pensions and bought their houses for reasonable amounts of money.
Sure.
And this is not this generation's fault, but I can still have misplaced anger towards an entire, you know, generation of people. I just feels like, you know, they get to retire at a reasonable age and they're doing all right. And I don't know anyone that's my age or younger that's probably going to get to do that. And that's really, to me, what that song is about. It's almost like a fantasy scenario of someone who really, you know, sort of like the classic boomer that's got the boat and the second house, and then all of a sudden things don't go right. And they're sweeping floors at the Burger King. Mm. So it's not really anti-Burger King, although the idea for the song came from a digital ad, I think I saw, that was, you know, encouraging people who were retired already to come back to work and work at Burger King. And I remember thinking, well, that's just sort of strange. I think they were having trouble, you know, getting people in post-COVID era or whatever. And so they were like, well, let's target the olds. And, I just thought that, I was like, well, that's kind of a weird angle. And then I was thinking about the technology of, you know, that it's actually not an easy job. I think that's sort of the punchline, right? We sort of cover that in lyrics. Like people think, oh, it's an entry level job, or it's a, you know, it's a low skill job. But I don't think that it is anymore, actually, right? I think you think of all the technology that these guys are working, and the terrible, imagine dealing with customers really anywhere, just the worst people in the world over and over again. And so it's feeling sorry for everyone involved in that world, I guess. But mostly it's just like, hey, man, if you're going to retire before the age of 70 and you have a pension, I wish you had to shovel poop at the Burger King.
All right. So that was a great explanation, and I love it. No, it's because it's one of those things. I know some people, and I don't mind it. And, you know, actually, I haven't ran into this too much in ska, but I know in general, people don't always want to explain their lyrics. But I want to hear someone's explanation of their lyrics. I want to feel what they, I guess I take art is I want to get what they intended. That's just sort of like the way I look at stuff. Art is of course subjective and stuff like that. And
I think traditionally the way that I write is not super, it's not meant to be, there's not a lot of, I think it's sort of like, I'm sort of saying what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the words sort of pretty clearly say, I think, what the intent is.
Yeah.
Now, if other people have a different, if it made people happy to think like, oh, Scagnetti really hates, you know, corporations. It's like, well, I don't know, I guess. I mean, I'll eat a Whopper, though, you know.
Right.
I will.
Right, right.
Unfortunately, I will, you know, as often as they're available to me.
All right. So let's take a listen to 401 BK from Sergeant Scagnetti, and we'll come back and talk some more. Here we go.
Racist things to grandkids. Or cruise with your wife you adore her. Crossword puzzles from the New Yorker. This life it can only get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. This is the vanishing American.
I love it. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so I'm not sure I side with anyone saying it's about, you know, sort of anti-corporation.
But oh, no, I got that. I really got that. I very much with the 15 minutes early, but can't clock in. Oh, like, yeah. That's very just like dealing with corporate bullshit. Like, you have to be there, but you can't work, and we're not going to pay you. But you'll be in trouble if you're not there 15 minutes early. Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, that's a, that line, I mean, probably stems from, yeah, I guess some.
So there's some, yeah, I guess I hear some of that, but I think... because you have that line, like, something about, like, the disappearing of America, something, I can't remember the phrase, but it was like, I guess, go ahead.
Yeah, this is the vanishing American, and actually, that's, there is a Burger King, do you guys remember the Burger King ad that had a Native American? You remember the famous anti-littering campaign?
Yes.
Yeah.
That had it.
Yes.
So Burger King in like the early 80s did a commercial with that same guy.
Right.
And created apparently what is often referenced in like advertising classes in college as maybe one of the most messed up, like, racist, unpolitically correct TV commercials in the history of like television, or at least like color television. And so I just, when I was writing the song about Burger King, I was like, well, let me go back. I think I was actually looking for horn lines because we hadn't written one yet. And I was like, I wonder if we can get inspiration from like an old Burger King commercial.
Ooh.
And so I went down that YouTube rabbit hole and then saw that commercial where it was a Native American. And I don't even remember exactly how that one went, but I was like, oof, that one, yikes. And then that was just a series of commercials from the 80s. And the next one was, there was a picture of a hamburger in the commercial, and it was like, the line is like, this is the vanishing American hamburger. And so I was like, well, there's the damn chorus to the song. This is the vanishing American.
Right.
And so, that's where that sort of came from.
Yeah. I guess listening to it, there was also, and I think you mentioned it in your explanation before the song, like, sort of frustration and sad that someone has to retire, but then they also have to work at that kind of job. It isn't so much Burger King, but that, yeah.
Well, just yeah, for them, right? Sad for them because, you know, I'm imagining someone that had a much different career.
Right.
One that, you know, did not involve, you know, manual labor and sweating and hard work and getting yelled at. And then to, you know, have to be in that environment, you know, would probably be shocking for them. And so it's a little bit of a kind of a twisted fantasy on my part of like, oh, what, how's that feel? You know, how's that feel to be on the other side of the fence? Cause I didn't want it to be like, oh man, it's shitty to work in fast food. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, it is pretty shitty to work in fast food, but it's also how a lot of people like get by. So it's not like, I didn't want it to sound like, haha, yeah. But it's more like, well, what if you thought your whole life that was a kind of a crappy entry-level job, and then you had to do it?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a little bit of, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
That sentence was my emotion in the idea of writing the song. Yeah. But, you know, I also borrowed some lyrics from my favorite rap act in a song that they have called Biddies in the BK Lounge. There's a few references in there too. So for De La Soul fans who are paying attention might go, ooh, I hope Tommy Boy Records does not sue Sergeant Skag or Cool Chris.
I don't know. They're still around. I think you're safe.
No, well, they just put out, they just got streaming rights through all of those albums, which were held up by their record label. So yeah. I feel like it's probably more,
that Jock Jam's money only buys so many lawyers.
Exactly. More hypersensitive than ever. And so Cool Chris told me that he welcomed lawsuits. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll leave the lyrics in.
Yeah. So I heard the title of the album in this song.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where it's pulled from directly? Or did the title of the album come before the line?
The title of the album was a working title of the album. And once it felt like that really was going to be the title of the album, I always like it when bands have the title of an album that is not a song, but a lyric.
Sure.
I always thought that was kind of cool. And so, long story short, before we wanted Hans Gruber and the Diehards to be on the track, which they are.
Yeah.
That middle part. And, I wasn't sure whether they were going to supply lyrics or whether we needed to. And so the night before we sent them the track, I wrote that middle part that they're in, fully intending them to maybe just be inspired by it maybe, or just get the gist of where I wanted them to sort of head. And so I was like, well, it'll be cool to put the title of the record in there. Maybe they'll keep that. And then I sent it to Kurt and Rosie, and they happened to be going into the studio a couple of days later, and they messaged me and they said, we're going to do it just as you wrote it. Like, we don't want to change anything. We really like it and we think it's great.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah, I just thought it was neat to put the title in.
Yeah.
And let someone else that's not in my band sing it.
So I thought it was really cool that you had Kurt and Rosie, Hans Gruber and the Diehards on this, because you had previously done 7-inch with them.
Yeah. Yeah, we owe a lot to those guys. We're very lucky that Chris, their drummer, was a fan of ours growing up and, you know, reached out to us, I think, when they were touring, right when we first got back at it at 2018. And we connected and played a few shows and just got along really well with those guys. And that split 7-inch for us, which I think I was on your podcast last time with them, I think probably.
Yes.
You know, it was a big help for us. That was like a baby step into us being like, okay, we're sort of back. We're trying to be back. It was, you know, we're not just playing shows locally. We put out a record and it got a little bit of, a little bit of attention and got to talk to cool folks like you and, you know, and so it was like, okay, well, you know, we're trying to be back, right? And that was a good first step. And that's how we got introduced to Chris. And so they could take a lot of credit for, for us continuing to go. Because I don't know if the rest of my band agrees, but I don't think we're still at it if we didn't have the goal of like putting out a record on a record label. Because this is a lot of work and it's hard. And if more people weren't going to hear it than had heard some of our, earlier stuff, it's almost like, well, what, why should we do it? You know?
Yeah.
So it's an awful lot of money and an awful lot of time and an awful lot of work. People should hear it.
Yeah. Well, the album's great. And, it's definitely,
thank you.
It's definitely, something I've really enjoyed listening to,
thank you.
These last week or so. And, I wanted to ask you, what was the concept behind the video for Everest?
man, we go on van rides to shows and we just start yapping. What if we did this? What if we did that? And it just, we have a tendency to overdo everything, right? Just in terms of like, we're trying again, that affliction we have where everybody gets a vote. So everybody's submitting ideas. And so Everest is pretty clearly just about self-help guru types, mm-hmm. Getting to show up at a work conference, whatever your company does, and some guy comes in and he climbed a mountain and your CEO is like, oh, listen to this guy, he climbed a mountain. And don't you find that relatable to the challenges you face in your job? And I've been to a bunch of those and I always go, no, I don't find that relatable at all. I don't think this guy has ever had a job where he has to, submit a weekly update or attend meetings that don't matter. This guy is, he's a trust fund kid. And
he had money and the time to work out to be able to survive that kind of thing.
Yeah. And so is it impressive that he went to the top of the mountain? I guess so. But am I impressed? No, I hate this guy. This guy sucks.
Yeah, this is not impressive in like what you want me to be impressed by, really.
So the idea for the song came when I was at a work conference, and there was a gentleman who, he didn't climb Mount Everest. I think he trekked across the North Pole or something.
Right.
He broke a world record. Mm. And that's what this guy does. All he does are like physical challenges that break world records. And so they brought him in and he wrote a book about how great it was that he did this thing. And so he's supposed to be this mind and this soul who's inspirational and helps people work through any challenge you can imagine. His teleprompter didn't work at this particular conference, right? And he was so whiny and snarky and mad that his teleprompter didn't work to keep him on track from recapping the book that he wrote. He was so mean to the tech people that were like at this hotel or conference center that we were at because like the stuff wasn't working, that I remember just thinking like, man, like you were at the North Pole and like you got like frostbite on your feet. And like at one point you got stuck in a storm and like there was a risk of you dying. But right. Like this right now is the worst thing that's happened to you. The teleprompter not working. You're just freaking out, really, really mad. Like it blew up his whole, like his whole demeanor changed. And I was like, this guy is so full of crap that he can't power through this. And he's yelling at like, you know, some guy with a headset, with an RJ headset on, who's just trying to fix the teleprompter. Yeah. And the guy's just like, I don't know, man, this thing's not working. We're at a Marriott. Like, what do you want from me? And that's what I was like, I'm going to write a song about this. And so that was the beginning of it. Yeah. I didn't answer your question though, because you asked about the inspiration of the video. Well, that was kind of the inspiration of the video. It was just corporate conference silliness and having to show up. And so we came up with a concept that, you know, we tied it into the promo for the record. We were pretending to have conflict with Cool Chris going back and forth in the record promos, where we wanted to make it seem like maybe he wasn't actually going to put out our record because we were such pains in the butts. And then we somehow connected it back to him challenging us to go to this self-help guru type, who is actually Gary from CT Ska, who's like a guy we knew and grew up with, who promotes shows here in Connecticut. And, we're like, your name's Gary, and Gary V. You guys know Gary V, the TikTok celebrity who's like grind set mindset. He's just
I do. Why did you remind me of that guy, Steve?
Well, it's Matt's fault. He asked me about the video. So we asked Gary to chat, because Gary's name is Gary, but everybody calls him Gardy. So we called him Gardy V instead of Gary V, and he's the guy in that video who's totally lying to us and, you know, makes us drink his magic juice, which gives us inspiration. And
right. Yeah, I've definitely been, I don't think I've ever had a sort of like person come in that was unrelated to my job necessarily, but I've definitely had some motivational speaker, you know, come in that's just talking about like overcoming obstacles and isn't that like obstacles in your job? And I'm like, no, because my job is a preschool teacher, and overcoming obstacles in my job really is about not putting enough staff in a room. Like that's
right.
That's
that's my only problem. There just needs to be a couple more of us and everything's solved, and there's no way to overcome that. Yeah,
man, exactly. all the problems could have been solved with more teachers and a nap, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. couple juice boxes and two more teachers.
And it's just like, basically what they're telling you is just endure the shittiness of this. And
trick your brain into not thinking it's so shitty. And the thing is, they're always selling a book, and that's like part of their price. I mean, they get a big payday for showing up, and then they charge the company for each attendee to give them the book, and then they can count those books as sold books.
Oh yeah, and that's
the worst. It's just the whole thing.
Scam in the side of a scam.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So I hate that stuff.
Me too. I'm with you, Steve.
Thank you.
So, what does the near future hold for Sergeant Scagnetti?
I don't know. I mean, we just, you know, we worked so hard and it was so stressful to make sure that the record showed up at Supernova and that we showed up at Supernova. Some of us aren't even back yet. or they're on their way back today. And so, yeah, we've got, we're going to do a record release show, a proper record release show here in Connecticut. At the Space Ballroom with the Slackers and Keep Flying on October 21st. And we'll have some super special merch bundles with all sorts of cool Skag merch that was not yet available until this time. And we'll try to trick people into coming to the show with that on the 21st in Connecticut. And then on November 10th in New York City, we're going to do a New York City record release party at Otto Shrunken Head with the Subway to Scaville folks, DJ nice. Ryan.
Yeah.
And we'll sell those bundles there. And then in sometime in December, we're playing a huge festival out in Pennsylvania with Keep Flying in around Scranton, Pennsylvania. And that's it. We have those three shows scheduled. It's hard for us to really do much more than like one or two shows a month.
Yeah.
So we're going to close out the year that way. And then 2024.
Yeah. Knows? All I'm hearing is double LP for the summer and then a worldwide tour for the rest of 2024.
I don't see why not.
Oh, you know? I don't see why not. Oh, Steve, I know one of your plans for 2024. I know one of them. We emailed about it. So I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't remember, but I'll do it. What did I say?
You know, taking part in our holiday compilation.
Oh, yes. Oh, 2024. Yes.
Yes.
For sure.
2024.
Yes. You're. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you're on it.
As long as if you hold that song for us, I guarantee that we will do it.
I currently don't remember what song you asked for, but I'll look in the email.
Matt, do I need to start a spreadsheet?
Probably.
Maybe for all of us.
That's if anyone wants, because I know everyone, and people say this all the time to me in person, like they kind of don't know what RJ looks like because RJ is not on social media the way that my face is.
But I just it's pictures of soda cans on my Instagram feed. Yep. Maybe a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
Occasionally I'm able to grab a picture of RJ and throw it up there. But if anyone wants to know what RJ does for On the Upbeat, is spreadsheets is the answer. That's just where our Patreon money goes, all our passwords for things. Because I guarantee
Christmas RJ's releases. Thing. Yeah.
That's RJ's spreadsheets.
I'm ADD, and if I don't write it down, I'll forget it. And if I don't organize it, it's useless. So yes. Google Sheets is my friend.
All right. Yeah. Before we head out, of course, we do ska picks of the week. Steve, why don't you tell us about your ska pick?
Yeah, my ska pick of the week is a band from Connecticut/Massachusetts that are good friends of ours called the Agonizers. And they just, I think a couple weeks ago, released, a double single or two singles.
Right.
This track is called Too Bad. And I choose them because I love those guys. And they started around the time we've started. And I've watched those guys progress from like, oh, those are our friends. And oh, yeah, songs are pretty good to like, I don't want to go on after those guys. They are ripping it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, shouts to Shane and Brian and the crew and the Agonizers. Too bad. Good Great. Track.
I like that song a lot, and I'm definitely going to be checking out this band because that's pretty good.
They only have the two first songs off their album up on Spotify, but on Bandcamp they have the whole album up. So if you want to listen to the whole album, check them out on Bandcamp.
Oh, awesome. All right.
Better research than I did, RJ. Good job.
Don't be too excited. He did it just now. I guarantee it.
Well, I knew the name, and as soon as the song started, I was like, oh, this is that band that has only two songs on Spotify, but the whole album's on Bandcamp, because I try to keep track of all the new releases every year. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's the other thing. If you ever want, yes. That's the other thing that RJ does. Keeps track. I literally just go to his list to look up new stuff Yeah,
and that's a list available to everybody. And I put all last week's releases. I put it up on our ska on Reddit every Monday morning. And if I remember, I put up post about it on Twitter with a link. But usually, I don't remember. I'm a very busy person.
All right. So speaking of things that I can't believe I wasn't already listening to, Why didn't anyone tell me Popes of Chilltown was a good band?
Matt, literally go back.
Yes,
I'm going to swear because I know I've told you how great they are. I know we've had guests play their songs on the show before.
Yep.
Matt.
Yep.
Matt, pay attention to your own darn podcast, sir.
I'm too busy running it to pay attention to it. that makes any sense.
That tracks.
That makes a lot of sense. That actually hurts my feelings because that's a real thing. Too busy paying attention to it to pay attention to it.
Yep. But so this is a song from Pope's. They literally released an album over the summer. Didn't know about it. So this is a song off that album. From Popes of Chilltown. It is called Do I Really Have to Show You? So let's check out the song right now. Here we go.
We've never ever felt so lonely, and we can't believe our luck. This game for you and me is over, and we both be better off. In which we persist that it is. I talk to myself more than I do to you. So what's the use? What if I knew I'd tell you? Why haven't got a clue? I find myself just drifting and not knowing anything anymore. I find myself just drifting and not.
I just wish someone would have told me. I would have been talking about them more.
I swear I played one of their songs for Ska News one time.
RJ, I'm sorry. I can't hear you. What happened, RJ?
And just for clarity for everyone, it's Popes of Chilltown, not Chilltown.
Oh, see? This is why I should pay attention to my own show.
It's a Simpsons reference. Like all good Ska bands.
Oh, there is an I there. All right, RJ, tell us about your Ska pick.
My Ska pick is because I'm keeping it Midwest this month. We're going with Dan Potthast. That's right. I sidestepped the usual Mend Me 330 song for just a solo Dan track. And the song is called Staring at Payphones. It's off his first album called Eyeballs. It's an old favorite of mine. I hope you enjoy it, too.
Same.
I thought you said it was the song Eyeballs, didn't you? Nope. Staring at phone. Hold, please. I got it. Here we go.
I'm staring at bed phones, thinking questions, pressing the numbers in my head. I'm staring at payphones. I'm staring at payphones, thinking of questions, hypothetical, intellectual arguments. I'm staring at payphones. Imagine myself alone at Benny's, eating the world's biggest slice. Across the room, the payphone starts to ring. I'm chewing on ice. Benny picks it up.
RJ. That Dan Potthast, he's pretty good. Why have you never told me about him?
Are you going to do this bit again?
Yep. Why not? Worked so well the first time.
I swear to God, there's two final bosses to on the upbeat. One is Aaron Barrett. The other one is Dan Potthast. We will need to have one or both of them on. And then either that's our halfway point or that's the final episode when we get the other one.
I personally always thought that the last, we just have to say we're done, we've reached the end of Ska, is when we have Gwen Stefani on. Like, I think that's...
Nah.
No?
Nah. Nah. Personally, for us, it's Aaron or Dan.
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely would probably, I'd be very excited about those. But
I don't know if we could talk to Gwen for, like, that long.
I guarantee I could. I guarantee I'd find a way.
Well, and keep it on Ska topics.
Oh, that's easy. That's very easy.
We'll see. I mean, she can talk her ear off about Madness, but does she even know the Interrupters?
Does maybe. maybe. All right, enough talking about people we're not actually talking to.
That's not going to happen.
Steve, thank you for joining us this week. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's super fun, man. Appreciate what you guys are doing.
And, of course, I'll put links to where to follow the band and all that good stuff in the show notes.
Got to sell some records, fellas. Got to sell some records.
Yeah, buy a, you can either get it digitally from Scott Punk International Records, or you can get a physical copy on vinyl, on CD, on cassette.
Yes.
I think, I don't know what other forms of hit clips. Someone will put it on a thumb drive and throw it at you.
Sure, whatever.
I mean, I got the new They Might Be Giants album on 8-track. It can happen.
Anything can happen if you can find a guy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Really? You on 8-track?
Yeah. They Might Be Giants book, 8-track.
So good.
That is hilarious. Do you even own an 8-track player?
No.
All right.
Well, I don't own a cassette player anymore either. I buy cassettes.
All right. Well, thank you to listeners for listening to Things That RJ Owns on this week's episode of On the Upbeat. Thanks for listening, and until next time,
keep listening to ska.
You've been listening to On the Upbeat. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get all the new episodes as soon as they're available. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at On the Upbeat Ska. Follow our Spotify playlist, Ska Favorites. It features all the songs heard on the show. Please consider joining our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ontheupbeatska to sign up today. And thank you for supporting On the Upbeat.
Well, I'm chilly, eh?
Uh-huh.
One, two. Hey, what's the big idea?
Oh, I admit it. It's only 2 alarm. 2.5 tops.
He thinks he's the Pope of Chili Town. Well, this year I am ready for him. The merciless peppers of Quetzalcoatlanango.
Have you ever wondered where Mountain Dew got its name? Well, you might think it represents dew on a mountain, but that's actually not true. You see, two brothers created this drink in the 1930s, and they realized it tasted like moonshine when they mixed it with alcohol. So they decided to call it
Mountain Dew,
because Mountain Dew is actually old slang for moonshine.